From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 232, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, April 14th, 2022, which of course means that it is National Ex-Spouse Day.
Yep.
Shout out, give a little hello, how you doing to the ex-spouse in your life, I guess.
It sounds like, you know how, because all these things are made up by people.
Right.
And it's just, you can tell by the way this holiday is written, it's by a haunted divorcee, because it says, very few marriages end amicably. Each year on April 14th, National Ex-Spouse Day encourages those who have dissolved a marriage to forgive their former spouse and move beyond any anger or bitterness that may remain. And even those that do aren't free from angst or regrets.
Like Aaron.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I cheated on you with your sister, but like, have some forgiveness.
And first of all, like, very few marriages end amicably. Like, let's just start that out. Like, don't behold me to some crazy made-up standard when I think there are only two successful marriages in the history of humankind. So,
yeah. Well, if you go back, you said the person who created it, Reverend Ronald Coleman of Kansas City, created this holiday in 1987 as a way to dissolve the bitterness that is often associated with divorce. In its inaugural year, he handed out buttons that read, I'm okay, your history.
I'm okay, your history?
Yeah.
So it's for people who...
Probably for people who are holding on to the pain of a divorce.
Got it. Okay.
Although I like it from the perspective of you're the person who has guilt from doing the other person wrong. You'd be like, you need to let it go.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like his heart was in the right place, but the way it's been co-opted, as things tend to be.
The wording also sounds like we're celebrating the ex-spouse, which you're like, yay, my ex-husband or wife or partner or whatever, rather than like, hey, man, let go of the pain day.
Anyways, shout out to bullshit holidays everywhere, and this one in particular. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You Got the Zeit One, baby. That's crazy. That actually came while I was out last week, and we were just talking about Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, and that ad campaign, but that came out last week to me from at Bohemian Rhapsody. Spelled city, like Citibank. Yeah,
but they
spelled it like Citibank. So maybe this is a soft pitch for like Citibank to sponsor a revival of Rhapsody.
I think it's coming back with Big Tig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We had talked about that.
I believe that there's something happening and we will see Big Tig back in it. Will they be doing freestyles in the basement like in its heyday?
Stay tuned. Will Citibank be involved? The question right. on all our minds.
Will Mayor Eric Adams be there?
Thank you. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it's Miles Gray celebrating the earliness of the Major League Baseball season. Coming straight down Lankerson Boulevard is Hideo Noho! Yeah, just didn't have time to check out the AKAs, so just going with my tried and true.
Is that a winding boulevard, Lankershim?
Lankershim's pretty straight on.
Would have been good if it was winding because of Hideo Noho's delivery.
The North Hollywood like that, it's pretty gridded up. You know what I mean? We have some fucking weird intersections, but nothing where it's like, yo, what the fuck is that street up to?
Mm. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a hilarious writer, comedian, podcast host, one of the best followers on Twitter, formerly the man behind House of Highlights, the founder of a creative studio, Follow Through, which makes Sneak This, and a bunch of funny shit, funny sports content. He's also got an upcoming NBA podcast with iHeart.
What?
And the NBA called Running the Break. It is the brilliant and talented CJ Toledano!
CJ! What is up, guys?
What's up, Miles?
We're thrilled to have you.
Good, man.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a minute. We were just catching up before the call, before the pod. I'm always looking for the thing that is the marker that the pandemic is kind of over. It's never going to be fully over. Right. This is one of those, I think, except we're on Zoom and not in a studio. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not over. But it's great to see you guys.
It's great to see you. The last time we had you on was in person, though, right?
Yeah, I think it was in person, and the stories I thought were dark, and it just got darker and darker.
Look at that.
Tends to be this country.
What's new with you, man? Anything?
Not much is new, aside from a human being that we're going to be responsible for in the coming days. So, going to be a father with fellow former iHeart podcast host Megan Gailey.
So we're
getting ready for that. Very, very excited. I'm excited for Megan to hopefully feel relief, even though she says that's not going to come for a while. But going to be a father. So that's primarily what I'm really excited for. Work stuff. Yeah, staying busy.
Yeah. Mm.
Is that who are we looking at behind you? What's that Bulls jersey back there?
So this is we got a Wizards Jordan MJ. Alternate throwback. It's a Washington Bullets throwback, but it's when Jordan wore it.
That's very dope.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. All right, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. I mean, right up top. Two more freaking weeks of masks on planes. Are you serious, bro? Are you serious? Come on. Will they ever come off, as the Drudge Report's headline stated?
Will they ever
this is
come
people
off?
People are still real mad about masks on planes. I'm surprised that 2 weeks is the time frame they're talking about. That seems a little short for people who have to take multiple flights a day as part of air crews. But so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Don Jr. We'll talk about just a little check-in with the propaganda of the past few days.
Oof.
So we're going to talk about that plenty more. But first, CJ, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Guys, I had a lot of fun with this because I just realized, and this isn't the first time, but I'm trying to find the longest iPhone cord that like actually works.
Gotcha.
It's a long iPhone cord because I usually just type this into Amazon, but now I was like, I gotta hit the internet streets. I gotta go outside that giant corporation and I gotta find the longest iPhone cord.
Because you can go mow a lawn and keep your phone plugged in.
Right.
It's like, because I'm a person who lets, I don't know if you guys are like this, but you let your phone die.
Yeah.
And I just, again, I'm going to be a father. I can't be having that. But also, so when I'm home and I'm chilling, I can't be losing juice while I'm at home with so many outlets nearby. But I also need to move freely with it. So trying to invest in, the longest I've found that's worked for me has been 12 feet.
Yeah.
I'd love to find something 20, 25. I think that would be a game changer.
Okay. You know, be wild though, is they make, you know how like back in like the 80s and 90s, people had that kitchen phone that had the long cord on it. So you could fucking like take that shit through half the house.
Yeah, the winding one.
Yeah.
That's like a curly
Bring
cube.
That back as an iPhone charger.
Yes.
So you're like, yo, it coils back up. It's right there. If I need to fucking take it on the go, I can.
That was like
cord has like kind of completely gone away. Like what is the pasta version, the pasta equivalent of?
I was gonna say it's a curly, it's like a curly fry, right?
Yeah. It's the curly fry of cords. Yeah,
and I feel like that was like the basis of so many 80s movie scenes where it was a parent on the go who had to like run around to every room in their house while still being on a corded kitchen phone.
Or like a great scene where it's a parent trying to get the kids out of the house while they're on the phone and everyone's like limboing around the cord and shit. Yep. And it's like, oh, sorry. And you get twisted up in it.
The scene ends where they run just too far and get yanked back.
Yeah.
And it's like parenting is hard.
And then the phone goes in the oatmeal and you're like, and the dog goes like this.
Yeah.
Why do we think that? Like, that was a pretty efficient cord. I guess it got tangled a lot, but the fact that it could stretch, but generally would, like, take up less space seems like a benefit, like a beneficial design. We have so many cords in our life. I don't have a single one that is shaped like that.
Well, I could maybe because, like, a power cord, it's hard to coil a power cord and, like, have it go through, like, that constant stress, and then it probably gets fucked. I don't know. I'm playing engineer here for a second, but that could only be the reason, right?
I just feel like we became anti-cord over the last two decades.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We ditched the basics, the core of it all, and it's, like, just the spring recoil was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, look, Zeitgang, if you know where to get a 30 footer, hit CJ up. Cause I'm at that phase too. I'm like, I plant chargers around my house. Mm-hmm. So like by my couch now, I got a fucking 12 footer, like just peeking out the cushion. So if ever I'm on there, I can be like, fuck it, I can charge right here.
Open the freezer. There's a charger right there.
Oh
there's
freezer right under the sink. I got one. You know what I mean? You never know.
Yeah. The don't let your phone run out thing has been something that I've become religious about since having kids, because first of all, like, there's the obvious stuff. You want to be able to capture a precious moment. You want to always have your phone ready if there's like an emergency. Or it's also like something that you don't hear as much is like there's a lot of downtime, like especially in the early days. Like there, you are both like constantly doing something and also very bored a lot of the time. So it's good to have that thing there just in case you need to scroll while the baby's dozing. I spend probably on average since my kids were born like 2 hours a day, like just waiting for them to fall asleep, like just sitting next to them waking up. I'm bad at sleep training, but that's, you know, just waiting with them as they fall asleep. So you're not doing anything. I'm not neglecting them, but
you're like, let's be real. This isn't fun for me.
Well, Jack, let me ask you this about being a new parent. Is there a lot of like, is this normal Googling? I feel like one of the biggest fears that every new parent tells me is like they check and see if their kid is breathing every, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is really scary.
I still struggle with I'm not a person who has like intrusive thoughts of like my own safety and stuff, but with our kids, it's definitely a struggle. And there's just weird stuff that comes out of their body.
Yeah. Should my baby's head be spinning around?
My baby's belly button be as big as their head?
And purple? Good.
So I need my phone to be charged to Google.
Our youngest had a thing coming out of his belly button that was like, well, this can't be good. Like that seems like it's most of his body. Like that seems like that is most of his body weight is in there. And the doctor was like, nah, it'll go away. And we were like, there's no way this is fucking going away. This is a second child.
Right.
And then the body just swallowed it up as he grew. It was wild.
Oh my God.
It just went away.
You didn't throw it, throw it away?
Like, we didn't actively watch it as it, like, sucked it in like linguine, but.
Right. Like, watching
I got pasta
a sunset.
On the brain.
You're like, here it goes.
Oh my God.
Also, just an alternative, if functionality is all you're looking for in the long cords, is extension cords. Underrated. You can always get, you can get a 50-foot extension that you're just dragging around with you if you want. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Trade orange, you know, like you're on a construction site.
Just, just right in the middle of your mid-century home, just a thick orange
cord. They make it in white and black and, you know, brown. Which
we need a wood grain.
Wood grain. Style
conscious. Yo, here's my wood grain extension.
Have I talked about the time when we, like, I just moved to Missouri and my wife wanted to, like, be eco-conscious, and so, and we had a yard, like, this was like our starter home in Columbia, Missouri, and everybody, no matter how small your yard was, had a riding lawnmower, and we bought an electric lawnmower that needed to be plugged in the whole time. And so that was a crash course in extension cords. I mowed through like three of them. And anytime I was out there, I was I looked like I was just doing some vacuuming because it was like such a slight lawnmower.
Right, and you have one hand.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm having the
wrangling.
One hand on the cord doing it back and forth, and like to the point that people would stop and like look at me, and it was they thought it was cute.
At that point, your gardening looks more like being like an on-court NBA cameraman, where like you got the camera and then you got the cord wrangler behind you.
Exactly.
Being like, no, you're good.
Doing a lot of whipping it around over to make sure that it's not in the way.
Neighborhood kids are jump roping.
Holding your arm real high to keep it away and shit.
Yeah. What is something that you think is overrated, Sisha?
I don't know if you guys are TikTok heads like myself, and I might be old and this might be like late, but that Tom's Diner cover, do you guys know this? Maybe I should have linked it. Which is a great song. And then these like two Hozier wannabes come in and they do like this hiccup singing.
No.
And then it's become like the, you know, the process of TikTok songs, at least, or sounds is like, hey, everyone who wants their video to go viral will make it their background music. So now my algorithm, my feed is just every single category of a viral video with this awful cover behind it. And I just, and then I saw it, it's like on the Billboard charts or on the Spotify charts, and I just can't escape it.
I can't even imagine trying to bring Hozier level like earnestness to the da-da-da-da-da. Like, that is supposed to be just like that they seem like they're at the opposite ends of like intention from the artist, from the vocalist.
Definitely a take, you know, it's like you know, it's like they're not gonna go viral covering it like the Smooth. I don't even know who the original artist is. So like, they bring in their raspy voice and you're like, oh, okay, this is jarring. And then some people were like, it's so jarring, I like it. And I should put a trick shot video to the sounds of this.
Here, hold on. Let's listen to it really quick so we have an idea of it. Justin, I'd imagine we're not going to put it in the show, but just for our reference here, I'll play it.
All right. So, okay.
I just don't know if they're serious.
All right, we're back. We just listened to it.
Oh, shit. I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. And it feels it on the halfway. Like, what the fuck is Tom Waits and shit coming in?
The original feels like it is like the artist is disappearing. Like that feels like that's what that song is about. That artist is disappearing from the boredom of like the situation. Mm-hmm. And that cover is being like, fucking look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. right now.
Look
feel
at me.
My emotions.
Watch me take liberties with this melodic. And it fills it only halfway. And before I even argue, he is looking out the window.
Like it sounds like a coffee house open mic prank. Like everyone is just trying to mind their own business. Oh, and the person's like, I'm going to turn this place upside down. And
slowly,
then it's just all of the phlegm from his stomach up through his esophagus.
The reaction of the other patrons in the coffee shop, they're like, oh, okay, I can own a little trumpet. That's okay. And they're like, oh, and then it starts, I am sick in the morning. And they're like, what the fuck? And then you get hit with that. Yeah, I'm like, this coffee shop has gone downhill.
Tom's Diner, what happened to you?
Yeah. It's funny. I was just talking to producer Becca the other day. I was at the fucking liquor store. Do you ever see this shit where people start bumping TikTok tunes out their car like it's fucking, you know, the summer of 02 and Where the Party At with Jagged Edge just came out?
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit I see right now. I was at the liquor store. This woman bought, I'm not joking, like 13 mini shooters of flavored vodka, got in her Honda CRV, rolled the windows down to start playing that one track from TikTok that goes, you want to bamba? That one. She was one, blasting You Want a Bamba out her fucking car, let that shit cook, and then slow motioned out of the parking lot. Like, we were like, yeah. Yo, there she goes.
Drink it in. Wow. That's,
You Want to Bamba.
So, and is the song starting right where the TikTok like videos start using it, or has she gone and done the research, found the song, and is just like playing the song? That's my question.
No, she's playing the actual track.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like almost like, oh yeah, like I fuck with this. But like she had the vibe of someone who like by osmosis kept hearing it because someone else is using TikTok, or she's so TikTok brained. Like I've fallen into that shit too, where like I'm like, I really like this song. And then I'm listening to it very quietly in my AirPods. Hmm.
What is something you think is underrated, CJ?
This one might just be me, but the Fly on the Wall podcast, and I don't want to promote other podcasts and other networks, but David Spade and Danica.
All right, let's just cut this off, man. Hold on.
Yeah, get this out of here.
SNL, you know, nostalgia and history.
Yeah.
The podcast is here for that. David Spade, Dana Carvey. They just talk about SNL, and we're like losing some big comedians, I feel like, in the last few months. And so I'm like, we're really cherishing hearing David Spade talk about behind the scenes of Joe Dirt. And so it's truly my one escape, and I'm like recommending it to everyone. And
oh, I love that.
Not many people are really enjoying the recommendation, but I'm finding it a lot of fun to listen to. So that's my underrated selection for today.
Do we ever talk about the development team on this podcast, Miles? Because that's one that I think we knew about a while back before it launched. And I was like, yo, this is going to be great. Like, listen to these two dudes talk to each other is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just such a good format because, like, some things just don't have, like, the kind of, like, director's commentary or something you'd like on the DVD or some shit. Like, I would listen to, like, an oral history of, like, In Living Color. You know what I mean? Like, imagine that shit.
Well, that's so if you guys passed on this, the In Living Color one is some, like, you guys got to get a move on it.
Keenan.
I don't think we passed on it as did not have the budget that was
financial
required. But worth it. What have you learned anything like it? Because I kind of like I've read the Live from New York and all, you know, the oral histories and used to like basically listen to podcasts, like a genre of podcast was like listening to comedians tell stories about their SNL tryouts, basically for a while there.
So, I mean, just I like hearing more about like SNL character movies are such a thing of the past. And there were like attempts that were, you know, more recent than we recall or like knew about. So, like, even today, the Bill Hader episode dropped, and hearing like the possibility of like a Stefan movie would have been incredible. But then then Dana Carvey started talking about the Hans and Franz movie, and like they're all the biggest hurdle for all of these is that like you take Hans and Franz out of a gym, it does not work. You take Stefan behind like they're like Mulaney and Hader were saying that Stefan didn't work as a sketch; it only could be at the update desk. So, but that's how we all know the success of these characters and taglines. Like, can Lorne make a movie of it? And for the most part, no. Because like even the ones that came out, no one liked. Even though I loved the Ladies Man movie.
Well, I did too.
That one, it's yeah. so funny.
Because that was that hit DVD when I was like a freshman in yep. college. And that was a that was heavy rotation, as was yeah. Night at the Roxbury.
Yep.
And then, I mean, McGruber, the movie, I think it might be the movie that most like shouldn't have worked, and like the gap between how well it should have worked and how well it does work, the largest might be MacGruber. Yeah. I'm personally a big fan of that movie.
Well, that has such a specific like perspective, even for it to be like a really condensed kind of quick sketch. Like mm-hmm. you knew how to like extend that. Whereas like to your point about Stefan, like that was more of a bit between Mulaney and Bill Hader to get yeah. him to crack at the desk. And that was like the fun of it. We were also kind of witnessing. So it's a little bit hard to like transpose that too.
Yeah. Like MacGruber was able to, if they like had decided in general, let's make a really good action movie parody, you know, and like they were able to do that plus a lot of very sketchy elements. But like right. Stefan, it's like, well, I guess, yeah. What sort of format can you use to carry out 90 minutes? And I don't know.
Right.
The yeah, I mean MacGruber, the sketch though, let's remember, was making fun of a single yeah. trope from the show MacGyver.
Yes.
That like no other show really used that much. And then it was the same shit over and over. Like, and that was the joke. And then they turned that into like the best kind of over-the-top parody of an action movie, I think, of our time, personally. But yeah, I mean, who knows? But that's amazing that they tried to make a Stefan movie. I would have liked to have seen what they came up with.
Yo, would you watch a 90-minute him just saying, this place has everything, and he goes for 90
builds,
minutes?
Build. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. we're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back, and, you know, the media has announced that we're going to be wearing masks on planes for 2 more weeks, and they are reacting like children have been told, like, that they have to, I don't know, that their birthday has been delayed by 2 weeks. Like, it's just, it's never going to come off then.
What the fuck?
Like, my response to 2 more weeks is, wait, how the fuck is there going to ever be, like, a busy travel industry with flight crews flying multiple times a day jammed into a small tube with people not wearing masks? Like, how is that going to work? And we have 2 weeks to figure that out. But everybody else's response seems to be like, you fucking kidding me?
Guys, I want to look at the bright spot of this, and it means 2 more weeks of people being taped to their chair. Like, that, it got so crazy, like, these Karen videos that, and, like, airline people or, like, flight attendants or whatever having to fight people by taping them to their chair and taping their mouth shut. Like, we've gotten to that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and, like, I'm never not going to wear a mask on a flight.
Yeah, me too. Same. I like not getting, not being sick. Yeah. Every time I get off a plane.
Yeah. Like, in my mind, the mask can come off when therapeutic drugs are so good that, like, if the second you have COVID, you can just go get, like, Tylenol COVID. Yeah. And then it's like, it's really like that. But until then, like, it's really difficult to, like, feel safe knowing, like, especially on a plane, you know, I get that the air is circulated and, like, transmission rates are not super high on airplanes and shit like that. But, like, well, I guess the positive to CJ's point is I'm looking forward to 3 weeks from now, because then maybe we don't need them anymore. Is that the deal? When they say, all right, 2 more weeks, okay?
Right.
Then it'll be figured out by the third week. Like, yeah. Huh?
They got this.
That's the implication here, which I like.
But I guess it's an AP article is saying the mask mandate is the most visible vestige of government restrictions to control the pandemic. There's been a slight increase in cases in recent weeks driven by this new strain. And because most positive tests are at-home tests, it's not, we don't know how many people are testing positive. So the numbers aren't going up. The only time we're going to know how severe this wave is when people start dying in a couple weeks, and hey, maybe we should wait for that. And the majority response seems to be like, no, the masks are fucking chin diapers. Fuck you.
Okay, and like, what the? Man, people have too much energy and they're putting it in the wrong fucking place. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of energy in the wrong place, let's talk about Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
What's going on with this man?
Man, I feel like every week we get these coup text leaks, you know, oh, guess who was telling Mark Meadows about QAnon this week, or guess who was begging him to fucking overturn the election? Well, last week we got just like the such clear, like even more clear evidence, as if like existing between November 2020 and January 6th wasn't enough to be like, they are fucking, they're trying to do some shit. We got the fucking receipt. So even if that matters, because I think most people are like, what's the DOJ doing here? But the recent drop has to do with Mark Meadows. And this time, though, he was getting messages from the president's oldest son, Key Bumps. So Key Bumps is texting him. This is 2 days after the election. Key Bumps is texting Mark Meadows saying, this is exactly what the text says. Quote, it's very simple. We have multiple paths. We control them all. We have operational control, total leverage, moral high ground. POTUS must start second term now. So that's what he's texting.
That's like just making, like he feels like he is in a position to order like the apparatus of the U.S. government.
Right. Or he's like that friend when before you go out to the club and he's too fucked up on drugs or alcohol. And he's like, yeah, man. And then we're going to go in there and we're going to get these bitches, man. And then we're going to party with them. And you're like, okay, man, thank you. Just please take that energy somewhere else that's not reflecting the reality of the situation. Let's be real. We're going to sit in this room and then complain about life by ourselves as single men. But now this plan that we see that he had, quote unquote, we saw it all happen, right? The primary goal was to sow chaos in swing states and lean on the secretaries of state to not certify the results or try to get their own slate of sham electors, which we saw like in Arizona, where like these group of Republicans are like, we are the real people certifying the election. And the courts are like, please get the fuck out of here. And since that didn't work, we saw what plan their, you know, step two was, or their fallback plan was, which was to try and get the Congress to nullify the results and get Pence to, you know, do the thing that he couldn't do. So honestly, this doesn't sound like people who really believed that the election was being stolen and they were acting out of like righteous morality to try and fight this off. It's all clear here. They're using burner phones. This guy's like, we control everything. Total leverage. We can make it all happen.
We have multiple paths. We control them all.
I'm not following this too closely, but didn't Trump a few weeks ago admit that the election wasn't stolen? And then like everyone sort of didn't care, like was like, cool. And then now I feel like he got bored of like looking sane for a minute and then is now back to this.
I feel like if he had said that, that would have been, I don't know. Nothing he says is really that much of news anymore, aside right. from like when he's like just trying to be like, this is the best candidate for this state. But I mean, it's clear that he's trying to figure out what the fuck to do, too, because meanwhile, yeah. you also hear him. He's like begging Ron DeSantis to not run for president, and low key being like, it'd be great if you could announce you're not going to run against me and then I'll endorse you. How about that?
Donald Trump Sr.?
Yeah. Not Key Bumps. Donald Trump Sr. Is out here like begging DeSantis to be like, let's do some tit for tat, which will be interesting how that plays out, because it'll, you know, you'd love to see DeSantis and Trump just rip each other apart and see who comes out. But either way, we're looking at a very, very stinky situation. And the wild part is, despite those texts, Key Bump's lawyer is saying, look, quote, after the election, Don Jr. received numerous messages from supporters and others. Given the date, this message likely originated from someone else and was forwarded.
So this is essentially a soft affluenza defense, right?
Oh, like, yeah. This is, Your Honor.
People were saying stuff to him. You just got to understand. Like, he's just repeating what he heard, and he's a real dipshit.
Your Honor, my client, who is a fucking angel child from heaven, there's no way that could have been his eight ball or whatever it's called of cocaine in the car. It must have been in there from a previous occupant. Now, can we go to the golf course, Your Honor? We're going to lose our tee time.
Right.
Like, it's like it really does have that. Like, let me just say this. You'll agree and we can move on. But a lot of people have pointed out, though, like this main story about these texts was a story that was breaking from the New York Times. But they put that shit all the way back on page A15.
Mm.
Whereas, like, you know, many people are like, I remember Hillary's emails being like above the fold on the front page. Mm-hmm. But you got this guy out here being like, we got all the fucking paths, man, and control the leverage, bro. Like, let's fucking do this. And A15.
Mm.
But anyway, the New York Times stays taking L's.
Is there any scenario on the horizon where, like, this investigation prevents him from running again in 2024? Like, what have people talked about? Like, what? So let's say just they keep finding, like, just closets full of smoking guns like this, just like opening doors and getting like buried by smoking guns. Like, it's a fucking Scooby-Doo cartoon. What is like the best case scenario for the future of democracy?
My God, that's a hard one to know. I mean, I'm sure if he's like actually indicted and convicted, that
I just think he's like, we saw during his presidency, like he was so absurdly committing so many like crimes or like, you know, impeachment and whatnot. But like these rules are so loosely written and they have just all the money in the world to hire these weird ass lawyers that they will find a path to run. And it's just like, it makes me feel like this whole thing is like, all this stuff is fake. All these structures are like, and it's a dark thought or like path I go down in my brain.
Yeah. It's hard, right? Because There's nothing that constitutionally bars someone, even if they're convicted. You could run for president from jail.
Yeah.
Technically. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the other thing people say is like the 14th Amendment, maybe, because that's the same thing they were trying to get Madison Cawthorn on, which is like, yo, if you were fucking around and like, because, you know, that's all after the Civil War, being like, yo, if you're fucking around in an insurrection, you can't hold office. That's disqualifying. That is more clear in its wording. But again, I'm not a legal scholar or a constitutional scholar, but from my understanding, there aren't many things. I'd imagine if he were in jail, you know, he'd probably still run for, I don't know. That would be even more wild.
Right.
You know, but the short answer is it all looks pretty bad. And I think is a very clear indictment on how terribly this country is set up to prevent things like this from happening, because everybody's kind of in on a scam on some level within some, you know, vertical or silo of the government. So we're not good at actually being able to like legally keep people out of office unless, like, you know, there's a real concerted effort from most people in D.C.
I feel like there's so many things where we went from, like, I think the, you know, New York Times reading public, New York Times reading and believing public went in the last 10 years from, like, it can't happen here to, like, it could happen here. Just, like, so many different things could happen here and probably more easily than in most other countries. Like,
right. Well, like, yeah. And their demographic, you know, I mean, like, you look at the people who are the people who support the Times, you know, because they went more to like a subscription based model for their business. It's the same kind of person.
Yeah.
Who's like a well-to-do, or like people, someone earning a decent living, who's liberal, living in a city. And so it's just kind of running away. And like, and you see how they're trying to bring younger people in. Like, that's why they bought Wordle, or they bought The Athletic. And trying to be like, yo, we do other stuff too. But I mean, until like the editorial perspective changes, like they're going to just, I don't see them expanding their audience most of the time. Like, yeah, there is good reporting. And then you juxtapose that with some of the awful fucking takes that are in there too. And you're like, I don't even, like, this shit's like hitting 20% of the time.
Mm. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thank you. a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And we were talking about the story we were going to skip because it's still going to be here in a while, but it's just too crazy. Then we just started talking about how we need to talk about it. So there's an LAPD thing. We'll get to the, it's just a propaganda update. There's a bunch of good shit being done by Alec Karakatsanis on the New York Times and how their coverage of the subway shooting just really, they used that as a way to feed into all these bullshit propaganda narratives. But we wanted to today talk specifically about this LAPD story that dropped just yesterday, warning residents that 17 gangs are sending out crews to conduct follow-home robberies. And the only source they cite for, and like, this is a crime that is definitely happening in LA,
yeah,
in the past 6 months. I've heard of
or it. You hear about it. However, juxtapose that with the overall statistic that crime is going down.
Crime is going down. Yes.
That's, you know, and I think that's the thing we like. I think Alec points out really well in his thread. He's like, even if these things are reported, it's still adding to this fucking myth that the crime rates are going up when we're experiencing fucking lows.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the only source they cite for the, like, this is a major problem side of the story is an LAPD task force that presented this narrative at a press conference. And it is clearly politically motivated. And it, like, they just call out the progressives by name. They call out a unconvicted person that they've arrested by name, being like, this person's been arrested like 3 times, and they keep, you know, the DA keeps putting them back out on the street. But I just want to talk about the specific examples of the crimes that they are talking about, because the strategy here and has been in LA for the past, I'd say, you know, 3 months, 4 months, has been to get the ultra, ultra wealthy scared.
Right.
That's so that they continue to push progressives out of politics and bring in your Ricks, Caruso, and, you know, these people who are real estate developers who can just make LA more of a place where you can get rich, essentially.
Oh, I'm in the don't fuck my money up party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they talk about one guy who's arrested on gun charges, let go because they didn't have shit on him other than him having a gun, still hasn't been charged. They reveal his full name and crimes are, he's tied to these crimes where they're robbing people who are wearing watches or carrying property worth more than the average American's annual salary.
Oh.
And 2x the median income, which is $35,000. I'm just going to read directly. Adams, according to Moore, was involved in 8 separate follow-off robberies over a 6-month period starting last fall, including one in which 2 UCLA students were robbed of 2 watches.
That could have been me.
2 watches. Okay, just wait for this part.
Okay.
Though, and then let me know if this could have been you.
Was it G-Shop?
2 watches 200? Worth nearly $145,000.
Fuck out of here.
Why? Yeah.
Students.
How? Why are you in college if you are able to wear a watch that worth that much?
Exactly. Like, fuck out of here, bro. Like,
I know you're in college.
Yeah.
Because your resume on the water polo team was fucking lit, even though you've never been in a pool before. But
so,
yeah.
So this is a tale. Now, again, this is a crime. I understand that's a robbery. But what we know this in the culture is just getting got.
Yes.
There's a Mos Def song about this very specific thing that says, come on now, what'd you expect? Got a month's paycheck dangling off your neck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right, because people are rubbing their mints, looking at you. Another line is, Mr. Fashion, that style never lasts long. The harder you flash, harder you get flashed on.
Mm-hmm. And that was a month's salary. I don't know anybody who makes $145,000.
That's a month. I know he has to update that. What'd you expect? Got a person's 9 years worth of salary dangling off your neck. I mean, that's a fucking, you look like a mark.
Maybe they were on their way to pay for their tuition with it. Like they're on their way to the admissions office and being like, hey, we just want to jazz up this really sour experience of paying six-figure college tuition, so here's our chains worth that much. But
right here, just here, take that. I mean, this was yeah. they got spotted at a club, right? Wasn't that where it started?
So it was 145 where two watches worth nearly $145,000 after leaving a club, a second in which two foreign tourists were robbed of watches worth $73,000, and a third in which $51,000 in property was stolen.
Yeah.
So my question is, are they talking about this because they want the ultra wealthy to get scared and,
right,
you know, get Rick Caruso elected, or, you know, get Gascon out of like the progressives out of politics, that sort of thing, which seems to already be the movement? Or are they talking about this because these are the only crimes that they've actually addressed, because they only address crimes that affect the ultra, ultra wealthy?
Mm.
Would be my question.
I mean, I get it. You know, wealthy people should be scared. You just want to wear your bust down Audemars to fucking, you know, the Petco. And now you got people
this
waving
town
cases
isn't
in your face.
Fun anymore, Miles. This town isn't fun. I have to like get a driver and a security guard to drive me around. That was the literal quote from a lady in an LA magazine article.
It's becoming Brazil, to be honest. I'm pretty soon going to have to just take a helicopter everywhere because the streets are so fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
We can get to LA Magazine. That place has completely embarrassed itself. I follow them motherfuckers on Instagram. Every story they put out, they put one, they're like, Gavin Newsom hangs out with Russian oligarchs and shit. And you read the story, like, has nothing really to do with any of that shit. And all they do are talk about these crime stories, which, again, are all there to ignore the basic fact first, right? That most crime is near historic lows in the country.
And also that crime, like across academic disciplines, crime, like the consensus is crime is caused by inequality. It is not caused by a lack of police or more police, which seems to be the only argument being presented in the New York Times and the LA Times on these stories. It is fucking wild. It is unbelievable. Like, it's straight up propaganda for the police, and it is the only perspective that is being presented in like what is seen by most people as like the major, like the all the news that's fit to print.
And it shows you, man, if you repeat shit enough, it becomes fact. It's despite the fact, like, we're saying crime is down, but you keep saying, oh, this look at all the shoplifting, blah blah blah. Don't talk about why people even steal shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? People don't steal shit because they have everything either. But and even sociologists, like, the way we stave off fascism is through like addressing inequality. But
it's very like taking advantage of the clickbait. Like, it's clickbait, right? Almost like, hey, here's a direct correlation. We need more guns and we need that money to pay for guns and more cops. And like, we're going to keep like you scare rich people. What do? They go and buy more security systems and they like, we need more police surrounding our neighborhoods. And it's like, but read past the headline. Read, like, go search for it elsewhere from your like notifications you're getting from like, you know, these very, very like clickbaity type sites. And it's just, it's unfortunate that it hasn't worked in the last two decades. Why not try something else? Why not look just a little bit further that we need to stop funding the cops?
Right. It's not journalism if you don't ask multifaceted approach to something like this. If you're just asking the police commissioner what their take is, it's going to lead them to, as Alec was pointing out, write shit like they're writing shit in the New York Times where they're trying to say that because 4,000 people were arrested in March, that there were declines in shooting incidences in January and February.
Yeah, that is an argument that was linked off to. Like, so they summarize it as like a surge of arrests has led to, like, so the New York Times, like, it's laundered into something that sounds reasonable and New York Timesy in the text of the New York Times, but then they're linking off to an article that basically makes the claim that a decline of 9 homicides in March, or sorry, in January and February was the result of arrests made in March.
Yeah. And let me explain that, because this guy was like, man, I'm gonna use my gun today. Actually, you know what? Nah, because I'm gonna get arrested in a couple weeks. So let me put violence away today. How are we supposed to process that?
Yeah. And it's the, you know, America is spending money on policing and on the caging of human beings at unprecedented levels in the history of the world. And we don't have unprecedentedly low crime. Our crime is low compared to where it was in the 90s. It's not unprecedentedly low compared to other countries that don't spend this much on policing and don't have, like, truly historic, like, by historic standards, like, that this is what the United States is going to be viewed as, like, thousands of years from now. They'll be like, oh, that was
bro, the planet is going to be fucked. You're not going to be
right. Well, you know, there'll still be, well,
the
yeah,
ashes
we'll
that see. The aliens
the
ashes, find.
The aliens, they'll be like, oh, that was a society that, like, caged their humans. Like, that, yeah. That is what. Is un- they're like, is what is noteworthy about the United States?
They didn't see the fundamental sickness of their culture, that they invest more in carceral tech and death generating technologies than the well-being of their own people, and then were curious as things began to degrade.
Weird.
Fuck.
Anyway, I mean, yeah. I get we might as well talk about the New York Times side of it, because there was a shooting in the Brooklyn subways,
right.
And the New York Times quickly made that a thing. So the headline started as several people shot in Brooklyn subway station. Those are the facts. It was quickly revised to shooting in subway station heightens simmering fears about public safety, becomes an article where they talk about Eric Adams, the new mayor, defending a return to broken window policing, which
that hasn't been debunked,
right?
300,000 times,
so thoroughly, repeatedly debunked. The lead article on the shooting did not mention that the U.S. is an outlier in the availability of guns, or poverty, or inequality, or lack of mental health care, or that the NYPD had just added more cops to the subways. Just because those would seem to be the relevant facts in
yeah.
which a shooting happens.
Did they mention that there weren't a lot of deaths, or there wasn't like any deaths because people, like New York citizens, were applying tourniquets to the victims? Like,
right.
Where were the cops saving anyone? It was just like, well, I can't believe this happened. The cops just deployed
like
this,
our radios don't
know?
Work. Sorry. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh no, New York citizens are saving each other in these situations because we're all like no longer able to depend on the police. So we all have to have our plans in place
right.
ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that if anything, that only hurts the police when people realize that on their own.
Yeah.
You know, when they're like, oh yeah, y'all really don't do shit at all for us. You know, like I get sometimes people feel safe when they see that squad car or something and they feel sketched out or something, but That's not how we derive our safety.
Right.
That's not the source of our stability as people at all.
Like I've been in movie theaters where there's a police officer or security guard, right? When you go to a movie and like on a big weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I never go to and like, hey, that cop's going to save me. I look at that exit and I'm like, how fast can I run out of there if anything?
Right, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, that's my instinct now.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, it really does seem like, I don't know, a concerted effort.
Of course.
Yeah, but like, is the thing driving this the fact that the paper like is involved in some like backrooms deals? Is it just that they depend on the police as sourcing and
yeah.
like the if it bleeds, it leads dynamic like makes it so that is their most important source? Like that makes sense to me, but this is it like it. To this point, that has always been my explanation. Like the media, the police are, you know, in a handshake deal. And like that is why we get basically the police digest in our papers and on the local news. But this like feels concerted. Like, this feels like they're getting editorial, like, guidance.
Right. And I think really just it all boils down to the fact that people will not stand up to the police ever. Mayors right. can't do it. Like, no elected official can do it. So how the fuck is a newspaper going to do it? And yeah. I get that, like, it starts off with this sort of, like, you know, mutually beneficial relationship of, like, give me a scoop. I'll write your skewed version of this reality. But I think now it's like almost like reflexive. Like there's such a habit to not really examine what the role in the of like policing or the waste of money is that it's like, I just will default right to. Yep. 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 We'll go with whatever you got. And I think the other hard part about it is when you have just in general, a lot of people who are ascending to like journalism in these places, they're not as connected with the reality of like what working people, like people in poverty, what life is like. If that, you know, I think they just view it as like, yeah, because poverty is chaotic, that it's like, and then these people, they're so, it's just, you don't know what's going on out there. And we don't really need to examine that further to understand human beings. We'll just take it from the perspective of more carceral technology, yeah. more spending, more prison. And that's the solution.
Yeah. They led their story about the shooting with saying that the shooting is reminiscent of a string of other incidents in recent years. And they don't say which things are. They don't say.
Hey, up to you, reader.
Project
your own fear onto
that. Shoehorn it into
a
trend when the thing that is noteworthy is that this is not a, you know, thing that happens very often.
Right. Yeah. Zoom out more, you know, like ask why we have so many people who are, you know, in terrible situations, whether they have lack of mental health support, mm-hmm. end up becoming a doomsday prophet on YouTube where they're like talking all kinds of wild shit. And you're like,
there's just not enough cops.
Not enough cops raising these kids.
Also, you should be given a gun at the turnstile and heading into the subway, you know, straight up.
Jesus. Yeah. Well. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of genius solutions we see coming off after this, because now a lot of people, especially in like New York Twitters, you hear that everyone's talking about like, oh, now they got cops everywhere in the subway. Like, even when
that's
they're there, it wasn't right. working.
Doesn't work.
Like, and it's weird because a lot of the tone from people does feel they're like, what the fuck is this all for?
Yeah.
You know? We have all, you couldn't, it took you this long to catch them. These three specific cameras stopped working with all this fucking nearly $11 billion budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, CJ, before we let you go, though, I do want to hear a little bit about what running the break, what like, and just NBA fashion from your perspective. Like, where
yeah.
are we?
Yeah.
Are we at a high point? Like, obviously the high point is like Larry Bird. And his clothing, but like,
oh yeah,
it's mostly going to be Larry Bird and and Josh Giddey, the modern day Larry Bird. No, I mean, it's like we've seen in the last few years how NBA and sports coverage has gone past the X's and O's and the wins and losses. So into like the league fits and the hey, what you know, the tunnel entrances and like coverage begins when a player is walking out of their bus
arrives.
Or their car. And walking into the arena from Russell Westbrook to Kyle Kuzma to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like those guys. And so we kind of thought, you know, there hasn't been daily coverage of that in like the trends and sort of like the trend watch and what's going on off the court. So Running the Break is sort of your weekly coverage, co-hosted by Alex Wong, who is a really great NBA journalist out of Toronto, wrote the book Cover Story. But yeah, we're sort of adding that dedication and commitment to that sort of pop culture and fashion and trend coverage to the NBA.
Nice.
Beautiful.
What is there a trend that you're excited about? Is there a dress, like somebody whose fits are like extra dope, like that's new to the league or?
That's new to the league. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think who I really like.
Who's on the come up, you know? Who do we need to keep? Because we know the main, up. The heavy hitters. We see them every time.
One, this guy is like very close to being at the top of the list, Jordan Clarkson. I mean, I have like a little yeah. bit of a bias towards him because he's half Filipino, but like,
yeah.
I really think in fashion in general, skinny jeans do not wear skinny jeans anymore. But like, and so Jordan Clarkson has just like very much very baggy and like almost just like extreme normcore to, you know, just I think he was just recently wearing the Camel Joe windbreaker. Like, do you guys remember the Camel Joe sort of swag and merch from back in the day where people would collect like the
Joe Camel points?
Yeah, the Camel bucks off of cigarette boxes, and they were making like legitimate merch.
Yeah.
So he's been kind of like, I think he's like built a collection of this stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I know myself as like a vintage streetwear collector. I went on Depop and eBay and started looking for that stuff. So I think he's there's guys who can sort of like dress well. And I think that's like sort of dictated by a lot of fashion people out there. But like Jordan Clarkson's a guy who I think is sort of like leading those movements. I think Russell Westbrook has like led those moments and movements. And PJ Tucker, in terms of the type of sneakers, that it's just not like the most expensive stuff. It's, you know, what's the story behind some of these pieces? And I hope, like, you know, running the break, we can kind of just get super, super in depth on stuff like that.
Yeah, that's dope. I mean, also, you know, every single one of my Filipino friends, they weren't caught slipping out here with fashion. So
I'm like, yeah,
how's Jalen Green's fashion? He doesn't seem like he's taking big swings, but he dresses all right.
He's getting there. I mean, the funniest thing about Jalen Green's fashion, and I think we'll get into this, like the business aspect of it, is that he signed with Adidas. But he's clearly a guy who like loves Air Forces and Dunks. And so now he has to wear these Bape shoes that are essentially Air Force, Bapes is like Air Force bootlegs and knockoffs.
Right.
And
right,
so
right.
It's a trend that I really love where these young players were like clearly Nike heads growing up, but then they're signed. They went with money.
Right. They're like, oh man, I love Li Ning sportswear, man.
Yeah.
So honored to be rocking their shoe. Yeah.
So it's fun seeing these guys just try to like figure out how to keep repping that stuff. So yeah, I think it's going to be episodes like that covering the silly and not so serious, but with that sort of very like in-depth focus analysis. Yeah.
Nice, man.
Well, I see him. Jalen's wearing off-white ones in this old picture. Jalen, hurry up. That better be pre-deal Jalen.
All right. Well, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
At CJ Toledano on Twitter, at Follow Through LA is the company. And then, I'm hosting, I mean, this comes out on the 14th today. So I'm hosting NBA Twitter Live for TNT on their Twitter, NBA on TNT on Friday for the play-in finals. And then, and then watch out for this little baby monster that Megan and I are creating right now.
Yeah. Wow. Congrats, man.
That's cool, man. The play-in's been super exciting.
Yeah.
First two, we were last night as we record this, and those are both really fun games.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad the Wolves are in. I'm glad the Wolves are in.
Yeah, me too.
Patrick Beverley breaking the internet nod of like pre-playoff. That's how you know the playoffs are about to be great. That Patrick Beverley is like creating storylines, not even the postseason just yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Let's see here. I dropped a link in there. It's just classic sort of shit posting. It's almost like reading back someone's joke, but I think it was Pretty Boy Navi. How do they know an animal is extinct? Like, or how do they know an animal is extinct? Like, you looked everywhere. He probably delivered in his brain a little bit better, but
there you go. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Y'all know about Mad Boosties. Probably know about 420 Day Fiance. So come through to those wonderful podcasts. Let's see a tweet. I like this one from at PJ Evans. Nice book. Too bad it was all plagiarized from the dictionary. I just love that concept. And then just this one kind of made me laugh because like I remember a lot of the theater kids I would hang out with like in high school and just beyond. But this is from Natalie Kernut at Nollypops tweeted, it's actually bad luck to say MacBook inside an office. You have to call it the Scottish laptop. So anyway, for all the Shakespeare theater heads out there, so stupid.
All right, let's see. Tweet I've been enjoying. Lamps tweeted, if sea turtles tried paper straws, they would understand. Come on, take one for the team, sea turtles.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check?
We're going to send you off. You already know, I love Hiatus Coyote. Yeah, the Mood Valiant came out a while back, and now they have a remix album called Mood Variant. Do you see what they did there? Man, it's all remixes from that album, and this one is the first track on that album. It's the remix of their track Blood and Marrow, but the remix is by Stro Elliott, and we've gone out on some Stro Elliott before, like in the past. But yeah, this is a really, really fantastic remix of an already fantastic track. So Blood and Marrow, the Stro Elliott remix.
It got the official, hey, who's that?
Hey, what's this? What's that?
Who's this? Yeah. What's this?
What are you playing? Yeah.
Approved. Stamp of approval for me.
It piqued his curiosity.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.